Blog Talk Radio.
Is it like heaven? Once it's gone.
All right, peace and blessings, and welcome to the Leopard Carpet. My special guest tonight is Nuwambe, and we were just listening to his track called Heaven. I am so excited about having Nuwambe on the show tonight, and it took some work. Let me just tell you, it took some work because, you know, we are having a snowstorm up here in the Pacific Northwest. We got inches and inches of snow. I had to call in my boys to help me roll out the leopard carpet and hold it down for Nuwambe so he doesn't slip and slide as he steps in here to spend the next hour with me. I'm going to be able to have a conversation, you know, find out about his story and play a little bit more of his flavor for you. So I am going to take a guess that a certain number is Nuwambe. I see several numbers on here. Many of them I know already, so I'm going to take a chance that this particular line belongs to Nuwambe. 214, is this by chance my special guest tonight, Nuwambe?
Well, I'm 214.
Oh, but you're not Nuwambe?
No, I'm not. I'm a fan of his. I'm King Blue.
Ah, King Blue, peace and blessings. How are you, my friend?
Shalom. I'm fine. How are you, Queen?
I'm very good. I'm excited. I saw that you had posted that you were a fan of Nuwambe's. Okay, so where is Nuwambe? I guess he hasn't called in yet. So, you know what, King Blue, if you don't mind, can I just ask you a few questions, your thoughts about Nuwambe and all of that, well, since I have you on the air?
Absolutely, no problem.
All right. Thank you so much.
I met Nuwambe a few months ago, actually.
Okay.
We were at a spot downtown that's known to have local artists and regional artists come in from time to time. And he was up there performing. And he began to tell a story before he started singing. And I was actually a guy in the audience that heckled him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, you know that's not
and,
even right.
he kind of looked at me and he said, yeah, all right, you know, like he was going to show me something, right? And he proceeded to just tear the house down. I mean, he was absolutely phenomenal. When he walked off the stage, I shook his hand and I said, man, I was very impressed. And from that point on, we began to walk and talk. And he told me more about his story and the things that he had been through. And I got one of his CDs from him then. And I was just very impressed with him, not only as an artist and not only as a person with stage presence, but also as an individual, as a man.
Mm. But you know what, and I appreciate you saying that, because I think for me, when it comes to artists, those are characteristics that I look for too. You know, I think that there are so many talents out there that are talented, you know, but then when you get to know the person, I think that's where the real substance comes from. And I think that in getting a taste of a personality, it kind of, you know, also helps you come to know and appreciate the art. So I totally, totally dig that. While we're talking, King Blue, I'm trying to see if we can muster up Mr. Nuwambe to call into the show.
Absolutely. So, he's a brother that I think once you hear his story, he's somebody that you want to root for. He's somebody that you want to see succeed, as opposed
right.
to the jaded artists that are already out here that you might not like personally. You know, honestly, I think he's a person that people would like.
So now, you are also in Texas then?
Yes, I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. And are you also a performer?
Yes, I am. I have a group called Southern Kingdom, and we make what we call righteous hip-hop, music that's funky and jamming, but it's no cussing and disrespecting our queens.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Well, you know what? You need to send me some music so I can hear it.
I sure will. I absolutely will. As of late, we had been targeting Kanye and Jay-Z because of their ugly, questionable videos and questionable lyrics. I don't know if you've ever seen the Monster video, but it's just a video that's about women being killed and decapitated, just a very ugly thing. And we know that they have the ear of our kids, and our kids love that sort of thing. So here lately, Southern Kingdom has really been targeted at saying that it's wrong for those guys to be using their power of influence in a negative manner.
I appreciate that. That's one of the conversations that I have a lot King Blue, with artists, that, you know, do they understand the power that they have and the influence they have on all of us that experience them in how we think and how we feel. And, you know, the reality is as much as you want to say that, you know, music is censored, it really isn't. You know, the kids are hearing the music, you know, and they are influenced by it. And I think that, you know, music can definitely, in my opinion, change the world. You know, I think it's that powerful, you know, in how we have relationships with each other, men and women relationships within family, you know, all kinds of ways. And so I appreciate the fact that that's something that you are targeting, because I think it's necessary. You know, I think it's necessary when those artists out there have that type of power, you know, and control over the media and what is being promoted out there. I think they should really think about that, you know. And the other thing too is, you know, I mean, being parents now, you know, I mean, when I think about that too, you know, especially when it comes to men and you have a daughter, you know, I mean, is this how you want, you know, your daughter to be portrayed, or, you know, how you want your daughter to be, you know, identified as, or, you know, whatever. That kind of floors me also. So much respect to you. I really look forward to, you know, hearing some of your music, and, you know, and maybe you want to come, you know, become a part of my movement. So, you know, we can help spread the word, you know, about what it is that you're doing. You have a great voice. I have to tell you that. You just, you know, it's kind of funny because I'm kind of big on voices. And I think when it comes to artists or people who really, really capture my attention, I think, first of all, I don't know if it's because I've been doing radio and been connected to artists, but I really am drawn to a voice that sounds really good to my ear, you know. And you definitely have one of those, like, strong, you know, voices. I'm sure you've been told that many times, though, huh?
Well, thank you very much, first off. And you know, I get the very white, you know, comparisons and that sort of thing. But I really appreciate that coming from you, you know, with your background. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't know. I am, you know, people that know me, they kind of know that I'm drawn to that. And I think that also, you know, I think that's something, too, to think about when you're creating music, or when you're creating, you know, for instance, poetry or spoken word, anything that's audio. I think that you have to have a voice and a tone that can, you know, attract the listener, you know, to want to pay attention to what you're doing. So don't mind I have my 3-year-old granddaughter in the background, because we are snowed in here. I'm still on grandma duty because my daughter hasn't been able to get home from work. She's stuck. So I have Miss Kimori in the background. But, well, I'm not sure what's going on with Nuwambe. But you know what? Why don't I go ahead and jump into another track? And King Blue, you are definitely more than welcome to stay on the air with me if you'd like.
Well, I appreciate that. And I look forward to hearing more of Nuwambe as well.
Okay, so I'm going to jump into another track by Nuwambe, and I'm going to play Forever.
Breathe when your lips kiss me. Oh, embracing you, loving you, choosing you for a lifetime of pleasure, forever and ever.
That was Forever by Nuwambe, who is supposed to be my featured guest tonight on the Leopard Carpet. I'm trying to make some connections and see if we can get him to call in. Otherwise, you know what, I'm good at winging things, and we can just reschedule Nuwambe in the near future if he's still interested in doing this feature with me. But the one thing that in, you know, doing my, research on Nuwambe and all of that, he's got a great story. So I don't really want to put too much out there, because I do hope that he's either going to call in today or sometime in the near future. But the thing that I love about his music is that it makes you feel. Not only does it kind of make you sway, you know, but it makes you feel, you know. And I think it just kind of puts that connection to, you know, relationships and where relationships, you know, should be and all of that. So that's something I really, really appreciate. He's new, you know, to me. And I always love, you know, getting to know new artists and Googling and seeing what I can find out about them. And I really enjoyed going over there to YouTube and checking out some of his videos. And I really would encourage you to go over to YouTube and check him out also. He's got a really great video doing a show with Eric Roberson. And I love the kind of playing back and forth between the two and all of that as Eric introduced him. And he's got a video, an acoustic set at South by Southwest, and, you know, he's got a video of his new single, which is called Unusual. So anyway, go over there and Google him. I did put his website in the chat room, which is artistecard.com/Nuwambe, and Nuwambe is Nuwamba. So would you agree with me, King Blue, that his music is a sound that just kind of takes you back to the fact of, you know, what relationships should look like and feel like, along with the fact that it just makes you want to sway?
Absolutely. It makes me feel good. And I'm going to be honest, I get a lot of CDs from a lot of different people, and I don't always listen to them. But I met this guy, and I felt this guy, and when I finally put his CD in the player, I was very impressed. So impressed, in fact, that when I go on the road, I take it with me and listen to it. It seems like it doesn't get old.
Now, that's a compliment right there. That's a compliment, you know, because for another artist, you know, to show that type of respect, even though you're different genres, I think that's really big. You know, and I was having this conversation the other night with an artist that I had on the Leopard, you know, on the Leopard Carpet, Stephen Jerome Ferguson. And you know, there are other artists that called in and showed him much respect for, you know, who he is as a man and with his talents and his, you know, quality production of what he's doing. And I just think that's big. I think it's one thing when you're a fan, you know, and you say you love somebody's talents, you know, or their sound or, you know, the experience of their art. I think that's a beautiful thing because, of course, you guys need, you know, the fans out there. But when another artist, you know, shows that type of respect, I think that's really big.
Oh, it definitely touched me on a personal level. There was one or two songs in particular that I really wanted to be able to share with my queen. My beautiful queen passed away 3 years ago. And hearing a couple of the songs that he sang, it was something that I really would have enjoyed sharing with her. She sang with me. She, we were together 21 years. She was my everything. And,
okay.
A couple of those songs reminded me of her, and that doesn't happen nearly enough.
That's a beautiful thing. That's really a beautiful story, you know. And I guess it kind of speaks volumes, you know, that when you hear music and it makes you think and feel, you know, something about that special loved one. You know, that too is another amazing thing that art can do. And I think about, you know, when artists create and, you know, creating classics, you know, it makes me feel that in your mind, King Blue, that his style songwriting and singing and delivering all is something that you can appreciate years from now, not just today, you know, but years from now.
It, you know, absolutely. And we don't always know as artists what song is going to do that for who or how it's going to touch a certain individual, but it's a beautiful
right.
thing when music can reach across time, you know, and space and touch somebody's heart. I could definitely see him right alongside with Lauryn Hill, and that's mm-hmm. not a comparison that I hardly ever make, but I could really see them on a bill together, and I don't think it'd be any drop-off. I mean, his sound is that good. It's that kind
right.
of quality, and it's a really positive vibe.
So what is his stage presence like, if you're able to actually describe that in words? What is it like to see him perform live?
Well, we all try to engage, well, most of us try to engage the audience. But Nwabe has a story that he tells before he gets into his thing. At least he did the night that I saw him. And the
okay.
story that he told was so compelling. I mean, you could hear a pin drop in a very crowded standing room only place in Dallas, Texas, the fifth largest
mm-hmm.
media city in the country. And it was wall-to-wall packed. And when he began to tell his story, everybody wanted to hear what he had to say. And when he began to sing, it wasn't somebody local. It wasn't somebody regional. It was an artist on stage. And that's the reason I had to give him his props when he got off stage. I made sure that I made my way to him and eye to eye told him that I appreciated what he did on stage, because it really was tight. And when you see that type of thing, I mean, you can either, you know, be an innocent bystander, you can be a hater, or you can be a congratulator. And I choose
mm-hmm.
to be a congratulator because it takes a lot to get up there. Not only that, but he was working with the house band, so he had to walk them through what he wanted them to do.
Oh, okay.
And it's
okay.
And it still came together like that's the way it should have sounded on the CD if I'd heard it. But it was
all
something
right.
I hadn't heard before.
That's interesting. That, you know, and I wish that he was here so he could hear you speak about him, and if nothing else, maybe we can encourage him to listen to the archives, because I would imagine for an artist to hear something like that would just really make them feel good and also solidify the fact that this is what they're meant to do. I think that as artists, especially underground independent artists, you know, there's got to be points where it feels so very discouraging, you know, because you know, you're told by many that you're talented and that, you know, you create products or projects such as events and all of that to perform at. And, you know, you want, you know, people to come out and participate and you know, pay to come to your shows or pay for your albums and all of that. And I think, you know, hearing a story like that, I think, at least for me, you know, in just being the artist cheerleader up here in Seattle, Washington, that it just makes me say, you know what, it makes me even more interested in him. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's a beautiful thing. And so I'm just like, you know, I'm sitting here like putting it out to the universe, you know, come on, Nwabe, please call into the show, you know, and hear some of this. But it's a beautiful thing that you would call in and you know, allow me to bring you on the air when I thought you were going to be Nwabe, because, you know, you are somebody who has experienced, you know, him in person and have met him and then have been able to appreciate, you know, his music, you know, as you go about your own, you know, life as a man to, you know, as an artist, you know, being out there and performing in front of others. So maybe I could just ask you, you know, what are your thoughts in regards to the struggles of an independent artist and trying to get out there and be recognized and be respected for your talents?
Well, the market is so saturated now. I mean, it's sad to say the hustlers have taken over the market, because the hustlers are the ones that are going to get out there and get their product heard and create these shows and these avenues for themselves and do whatever it takes with a hustler's mentality. Whereas those of us that are artists are so much more concerned with the work we're putting out. I think the radio suffers because those are the people that rise to the top, as opposed to the true artists that really grind diligently at perfecting this craft. We should take a lesson from them and really step up our hustle and just try to find more ways for people to hear us, because I've found that it, you know, it takes more than videos. It takes more than a Facebook presence or a MySpace presence. I guess it all boils down to live shows and people actually coming out, you know, to support them. I mean, I can't see any other way now for us to get the recognition we deserve, because I was there that night, I did become a fan of his, and I'm not one that, you know, to ride somebody's jock or pick up some pom-poms, but at the same time, I have to give credit where credit is due, and I have to be honest in my evaluation of what I'm speaking about, and honestly, I really enjoyed his performances. I think his CD is phenomenal, actually. It's completely first-rate. The packaging, the way it looks, the way it feels. I can pick his CD out in the dark because you can feel the ink on the CD. It's raised, you know. It's really a quality product. It's not somebody that wrote their name on a blank CD with the mark a lot, which I'm not downing, because that's the way a lot of us have to do it. But I'm just saying that not only with the quality stage show and a quality product, the packaging, everything is first rate, and this guy really deserves to be known, you know, by everybody.
So it sounds like you're saying that he is one that not only is an amazing talent, and it sounds like a great person, you know, from his stage presence to his music, you know, and to the quality of the production. But it sounds like in my mind, in what I'm hearing you say, King Blue, that he is also understands the business part, because I think that the presentation is really, really big when it comes to an artist also being taken serious. And so it sounds like, in your opinion, that he has, like, all aspects down of what it takes to be successful as an artist.
Oh, the music is fantastic. The CD insert is a multifold. It's rendered in beautiful colors. And not only did I enjoy stage presence, but like I said, we walked and talked after the show. We walked outside to our cars, and at that point, we just began to talk as men. And the energy that he shared with me, and the story that he shared with me concerning his relationship with his lady, and love's ups and downs, is just, it's something that you don't hear every day. We all have heartbreak stories. I have my own, but the one he gave me was something so real and so fresh. I mean, I really think that, you know, everybody needs to know his story.
Right. Well, I think from your experience of him, you definitely are telling a great story, you know, on his part. So if by chance Nuwambe is on the phone line, if you wouldn't mind hitting the one button so that I know it's actually you and I can bring you into the show, that would be wonderful, because I do see another Dallas number on the switchboard. So, again, if it's Nuwambe, please hit the number one so I know that it's you. But why don't I go ahead and play another track, because I might as well play the music, even if he is not here. And then if that's not Nuwambe, then I can definitely reschedule him. So let's see. I am going to play All Mine by Nuwambe.
All right.
Sweetness. I'm blessed. Do I promise you don't have to worry about
Supposed to be my special guest on the leopard carpet tonight, and I'm going to put it out to the universe that this number is actually Nuwambe. So there's a second 214 area code, and is this by chance Nuwambe?
This is Nuwambe.
Ah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I put
it out
to the
universe. I've been trying to get in, y'all. I'm sorry for being cordially late.
That's all right. That's all right. I do think that I saw a video of you with Eric Roberson where you were kind of talking about being late.
Yeah, late. And it was actually my manager that was pressing one and trying to get me in there. And I guess he was like, hey, man, just hang up and call him back. So I'll call back.
Okay.
And
I'm glad that you're here. Okay, I'm so glad that you're here. And I just want you to know that King Blue is on the line. And I don't know if you had the opportunity to hear him talk about you, but he's, like, got to be one of your number one fans down there in Dallas.
All right, all right. Having with your brother?
Okay. Hey, what's going on, bro?
Man, not much, man.
Well, I'm glad you were able to make it, man. I look forward to hearing you share your story with the people.
Man, you know, we all got stories, and it's getting thicker and thicker as we go.
Well, just to kind of briefly go over what King Blue was sharing, because I think it was such so respectful. You know, he was talking about seeing you perform down there in Dallas, and then having the opportunity to meet you after the show and walk and talk with you along with getting a copy of your CD. And he was like, not only are you just an amazing singer, you know, and performer, but that in a sense that that particular show that you did, you know, you almost, you know, you shared of yourself, you know, which in turn, you know, kind of drew people in to not just the experience of your music, but the experience of you as a whole. And then just having that opportunity to also, you know, walk and talk with you. But he also went into the fact of, you know, just the production of your CD was so well done and professional. So, you know, he gave me this sense, Nuwambe, that you were just, you know, one of those artists that really takes this serious and understand what it takes to grab the attention of, you know, of your potential fans and all.
He's correct. If I may ask, what particular show did you see, bro? Because I got an excellent memory. You just gotta tell me the show. Was that the Profit Bar? I mean, do you remember what show it was?
Oh, you know what? He just dropped off the line.
He dropped off. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
well, I can tell you this. I remember meeting a gentleman. It might have been him. And okay. I remember meeting a gentleman. He said that I actually what I was saying to or singing at the time actually really did touch the soft spot in his heart or whatnot. I didn't mean to do that, but I'm just telling you that when I feel like if you're creating music out of, and it's some type of truth in the music, and I feel like it's going to touch the individual that it needs to touch. Mm-hmm. Almost like a gospel song, you know what I mean? You know, I've listened to a gospel song and some of the words may impact you in a way that makes you want to probably change your life if you're, you know, going down the wrong path, or even just rejoice into knowing that it's going to be okay, it's going to be all right. You know what I mean? So,
sure.
As far as like the music, the compositions of the music as well. I at the time when I was developing my sound of the music, I still am, but I was taking it very, very serious, and to the point where, you know, we spend a lot of money in the studio to get that, create that particular sound that most people may try to do on the keyboard or something like that. You know, we try to put a lot of live instrumentation into the music. Sometimes it can take a lot of hours trying to create that particular type of sound. So,
and that's
if you don't have the right player.
And I was wondering, because it appeared that you did, in the pieces that I have, that you are performing with live musicians, or it's put together that way, that there are actual musicians versus that, what do you call it, electronic sound that makes the music or whatever?
Electronic or synthetic sound, you know, synthetic keyboard sounds. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing because, you know, what I do is I try to, almost like a Raphael Sadiq, I try to incorporate the two, combine them in a way where you still have the feel of live instrumentation, and then you also have that feel that most of the radio songs have, so that way it can kind of transition into a radio if you need it to be on your regular P1 stations. For say, you know, on your larger radio station. So I try to appeal to everyone's ear while I'm creating. So.
Okay. So, you know, I'm definitely okay with going over on this. The unfortunate thing is that if we go longer than there's like 17 minutes left in the scheduled show, that is what would be heard live. If we go past those 17 minutes, Nwambe, which I'm okay with, it will be still recording and going into the archives. So anybody that comes back and listens to this show will hear the archives of you talking. So I am totally open to whatever it is that you're wanting to do, because I believe that you've got a really interesting story, you know, reading over your bio and going to your great website, and all of that, you know, from, I guess what intrigued me, you know, in reading your bio, it kind of sounds like you are a man who is going to do it your way. You know, you're going to stay true to yourself and what sounds and feels good in your creations, and you're not going to fall into what media says is what's going to necessarily sell. So did I read that correctly in my interpretation?
Yeah, there's actually some truth to that all the way. You know what I mean? I'm a hard-headed individual. That's the best way to put it. But I really do feel like it's a great thing to actually. I really do feel like it's a great thing to really to be that way in a sense. Sort of like a rebel or whatnot. When it comes to certain things, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a rebel when it comes to the Most High. I'm not a rebel to that, you know what I'm saying? But I am most definitely a rebel to the music. And I come from the era. If you go back and check this particular album that I did make, it was recorded in around 2003, 2004, and then released within 2005 and 2006, because we released it in Japan first. So some of the particular tunes that you're hearing are very, very they are timeless pieces, and time has told the story that these pieces are timeless, because when people hear them every time, they are able to gravitate to it as if it was brand new, when it's not new.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It may be new to their ears, but it's actually an old composition. You know what I'm saying? The way I got to the point where I didn't care what other people thought was when I was invited a couple of times. One time I got on the tour bus with Michael McDonald and the Average White Band. I was on a tour bus with them, and this is before my album came out. And I was on the tour bus, and the bass player on my album, his cousin, is one of the singers in the Average White Band. And he was like, hey, man, you know, my cousin been telling me he's been trying to work on his album. Let me hear what y'all got. So I put the album in. And it was so funny that, you know, Michael McDonald came. This is after the show. We all went on a tour bus. And Michael McDonald came on the bus, and Average White Band and some more bands that were playing, older bands that were playing. They came on the bus, and they was listening to the sound. And they was like, man, who is this? I mean, everybody kept pointing at me. And I mean, this guy told me, he was one of the oldest guys in that particular band, Average White Band. He asked me this specific question. He said, what are you waiting on? He said, what are you waiting on?
Right.
That was so profound to me. You know what I mean? I was like, what am I waiting on? Am I waiting on a record deal? Am I waiting on somebody to save me? I mean, what am I waiting on? I was waiting on a record deal. I was.
Okay.
And that opened my eyes, said, hey, man, you don't need a record deal. You know what I'm saying? Because I was looking for the right record deal. I did have deals. I was looking for the right record deal. But it never came. You know what I'm saying? But that don't mean you should not release the music. You know what I mean? So we released music.
Okay.
And we had an enormous response from the music. And I let Earth, Wind & Fire hear it. I was on that tour bus down in Houston one time. And I let them hear it. Got a great response. Frankie Beverly got a great response out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put the music out. I just put it out and let it go from there. So
tell me this, Nuwambe, how did you get in the position of having that opportunity to connect with those artists, to even, you know, have them hear your music?
It was this guy, Corey Burns, who's the bass player. His cousin played for the Average White Band, so that's how we got that opportunity.
Right.
And as far as, like, meeting Frankie Beverly, and down in Houston, they had this thing called the Toyota Center or whatever, and they turned it into a church. It's a big church now. I forgot the guy's name. The guy that's the pastor of that church now. This particular guy, and excuse me if I say his name, I think it was James Tony. I can't remember his name. It's been so many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he was working at the Toyota Center at the time, and he was connected from a security standpoint. So he was just like, hey, man, I'm going to manage you, and I'm going to take you in and meet these people. So he would allow me to come and meet these people. He would have called me on the phone, hey, man, come. Where you at? And I said, hey, man, I'm in Fort Worth. I'm in Dallas. He said, man, drive down to Houston, man. It's a 3.5-4-hour drive. Come down here because, you know, I got a concert. I'm going to get you behind stage so you can meet XYZ. I was like, okay, cool. I met Matthew Knowles. I met everybody that people are trying to get connected with. I've been in their office before. I've been in their office, let them allow them to hear the music. They say it was great music, but no one took the time to really just, you know, grab me and say, you know what, this kid got some talent. Let's take it to the next level. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times when somebody hears some music of that magnitude, and then also, you know, an individual like me, when you pretty much meet me, I'm already a deep individual. You know, you can't sell me a wolf cookie. You'll let me pass. You know what I mean? And be like, hey, I can't screw this guy. So let me go ahead and let him pass. And I think that kind of hurt me in a sense. But at the same time, God is a wonderful God. You know what I'm saying? Because, how do you have an album that came out so long ago that it's still relevant today? It's relevant. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people have purchased that album, and now I got some new music. I'm trying to put that out. We're working on that. You know what I'm saying? That's what's important.
Sure. But, you know, I think there is something to be said, Nuwambe, that, you know, you could create music so many years ago. And, you know, for me, you know, it's new. So, you know, without you telling me or me paying attention to some dates on, you know, something, you know, to me it's new. And it is very relevant to my ear and to my life and where I am. You know, so I think that's when, you know, classics are created. you know, and like we were having a great conversation, King Blue and I. So it was a blessing that he called in because, he, you know, he was so familiar with your music and who you are that, you know, he shared stories. But, you know, I think that is not always seen where artists are creating a sound, you know, that can live on, you know, and can still be appreciated. You know, King Blue talks about the fact that because he's an artist himself, you know, when he's on the road doing his music and his shows, you know, he puts Nwambe in to listen to in his car as he travels, you know,
right.
And I think that's the way music, in a sense, should be looked at. I don't think it should be for the moment. You know, yet we all know that music is created, you know, for the moment. Maybe the artist doesn't necessarily see it that way, but it's just kind of a fact, and then you move on to the next one. But I do
right.
think that you have that music, that sound, that it's almost like a personal draw, you know, to
mm-hmm.
an individual to come in and say, you know what, this is what I'm in the mood for, this is what I need to hear, you know, and you sit down and you listen to your music because it's that feel-good music, it's that feeling, you know, music that, you know, I was saying earlier in the show, it kind of gives you that sense of relationships and where relationships should be, you know, between
mm-hmm.
people, between man and woman, to just having that, you know, that desire to just kind of sway your hips, you know, and you know, spend that time with your special loved one. So, I mean, that's my take on your sound. So what do you think of that?
I mean, yeah, I really do tap into the relationship side of in my writing because, you know, I have, you know, all, to be honest with you, all my life, ever since I was 18 years old, I've been in relationships, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I wasn't the young man that went to college, went on off to college, and then, you know, kind of show what they call quote unquote show my Royal Oaks or whatever, you know, soul
mm-hmm.
or whatever. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was the individual who had the high school sweetheart and then et cetera, et cetera. And so that's what I knew. You know what I mean? So I wrote about what I knew or what I was currently in, the situation I was in. So I wrote about that situation.
Okay.
And then some of the writings that you have heard, some of the songs that you have heard, is some of the struggles that I went through, like Above the Water itself is a song about my struggle. About me as a young man, you know, consistently trying to uplift myself,
okay.
you know, not knowing how to uplift myself, but finding the way to uplift myself to a better status, if you want to say that, or even
mm-hmm.
a better, you know, a higher consciousness.
Sure.
We can go there. You know what I mean? Been a struggle for me, you know what I'm saying? It hasn't been easy
okay.
at all, you know what I mean? So it's not a walk in the park to me. So when I write, my emotions are on paper, you know what I mean? I write, I write with my sleeve, my what's the name on my shoulders, my sleeves on, what's the name, what they say you write with, you like a chip on your
right.
shoulder. I write
You're
with
right.
a chip on my shoulder. So when you usually write with a chip on your shoulder, you're going to write the truth.
Okay.
Not something that you haven't ever experienced. And you can hear it in
right.
the vocals. You know what I'm saying? We were talking about this the other day, me and this guy named William Grigg, talking about this the other day, how in the 80s, people were not the best vocalists. They may have been off of key, you know what I mean? Off key singing.
Mm-hmm.
But they had songs you felt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they had songs that touch you, songs you can
right.
remember, you know what I'm saying, and incorporate it into your life and, you know, do whatever you need to do in order for you to have a better relationship or whatnot. And it's to the point now where I'm even like that now. It's like, it's not about a perfect song. It's about getting and conveying the song and having people, just having this connection with the people to the point
yeah.
where they understand you, you understand them, and then everybody's like, okay, yeah, I feel this dude, you know what I'm saying? And I want to
right.
support this dude, and I want to see him do great things, and you want to see them do great things. Even if they take bits and pieces of what you said and change in their life, you're cool with that. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, I'm happy. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I'm at now. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's all about getting the songs out, letting the people hear the songs. Because, you know, I don't like to bring this up, but there's some individuals out there who have stagnated me. You know what I mean? Based on the fact that they like a certain artist or they like this. I mean, and what I mean by that is they have, like, individuals wanted to book me for shows. People would say, well, no, I got this other artist I want to book. I wouldn't book him. You know what I'm saying? And then that individual or that promoter, it's like, well, they never put the music to their ears. They never,
because
somebody else told them, hey, he all right. Listen to this. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
right.
You know,
right.
You don't know what you're missing. You know what I mean? And I think that my album is a bad interpretation of me anyway. I think that I am more dynamic when it comes to performing live, in which we are so frantically trying right now, trying to get shows so people can really see me, feel me, and understand that it's just not me trying to do music and trying to come up. It's me doing music because it's who I am as a person. This is a part of me, you know what I mean? And it's really something that I really want to do. It's something that is born in me. You know what I'm saying? This is part of my DNA, you know what I mean? So,
I totally get that. And just listening to you talk, I'll be honest with you, it was like, you know, trying to get a sense of, you know, what your personality might be and, you know, reading, you know, your bio and this and that, and just experiencing the music the way that, you know, I as Lady Flava, you know, sit and listen, you know, to music and everything. And I was drawn in just by that. But I have to tell you, you know, from King Blue, you know, calling into the show, and I thought he might have been you. That's why I brought him into the show. But to have that experience of somebody who actually has experienced you in person, you know, and he definitely had that special experience with you, from there to even continuing the relationship with just the CD that he has and listening to it. So it didn't end just where he experienced you live, you know, and even had a conversation with you. You know, the journey continues, you know, between King Blue and Nwabe, you know, as he gets into his car and goes on. I think that's where music should be, in a sense. You know, it's like that kind of music, Nwabe, you know, back in the day. You knew where you were when, you know, LTD, the song, you know, by LTD or Earth, Wind, and Fire came on. It's like, I remember I was at Gary, you know, Lark's house, sitting in his living room, you know, when that's the first time I heard that song. So I think that your music is that type of music that draws you in that way also. You know, that is like, you know, I remember, you know, where I was at this point in my life with the first time that I heard this particular track by Nwabe. And I think that, you know, you can get a feel that this is much more than just creating music to sell, that it's something that is a part of you and that you are definitely wanting to create that real, real connection with those that experience who you are through your music.
Right. Right. I believe everything you're saying is, I've been preaching this for the longest, you know what I mean? And you know how people say, hey, it's all about your team, it's all about who you got around you, et cetera, et cetera, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm to the point now, I just want to perform. I just want to perform for people. I want people to get a chance to see me, feel my pain. Because I've been through, like I said, I've been through some things that, and I want to convey those things over to people so we can be better people. You know what I'm saying? And not because I went through it, you should listen to me. It's just the fact that, you know, why not tell the people so they can have better relationships? You know what I mean? I mean, realistically, in the African American community, we have the most broken homes and the most disturbed individuals, poverty-stricken individuals in the nation, you know what I'm saying? And, and I mean, even soul music to me is to a point where, you know, there's no disrespect for soul. I love soul music, you know what I'm saying? It's just, is to me right now is just really bougie. You know what I'm saying? If I, you know, if that's the word you want to use, it really
okay.
got to the point where it's, and, you know, individuals, it's all about who you are, who this and that. But we have, and I told somebody just the other day, I said, soul music was a connection to the simplest, I don't even say simple person, to the common man. When James Brown came, When I'm Black and I'm Proud, that was to connect with the individual
mm-hmm.
people who were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to have something to say, be proud of who you are. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We're not
sure.
doing that anymore. It's all about show. It's show, show, show. It's not about, hey, I want to connect with you. You know what I'm saying? It's just like even
right.
in the church, you know what I'm saying? Oh, that person can't come to this church. He look at what you got on. He, you know,
right.
you know what I'm saying? I mean, people actually, it's like a lot of discrimination. I call it sub-discrimination within our own race, even on the
mm-hmm.
soul music side, even on people doing soul music. You know what I'm saying? Well, he ain't Eric Robinson. I'm not Eric Robinson. You're right.
Exactly.
I'm not Raheem Devine.
Right.
But if you really go do your, if you really do your research on me, are you? I've been in compilation, Billboard magazine, and everything with these same people that you're talking about.
Right.
But you would give them a chance quicker than me. You see what I'm saying? You'll burn me because how he's from Fort Worth, Texas. He's from the country. He ain't talking about nothing. You know what I'm saying? He ain't talking about nothing. Go to the next.
Right.
Go to the next. And then you get what you get. You got this in your popular music. You got this in the soul community. You got this in almost every genre of music. You got a set number of people who are allowed to project or show their talent. I mean, you can just go down the line. You, right now, we can only name 3 or 4 rappers right now that we continuously play on the radio.
Sure.
And Lil Wayne, Drake, Kanye West, and you got Jay-Z, and that's it. That's 4 people.
Right.
Then on the singer
right.
side, R&B, you got Rihanna, you know what I'm saying? You got Rihanna, you got Beyonce, and you really can't name anybody else, you know what I'm saying, to
sure.
be honest.
Right.
And then
right.
And Lady Gaga, you know what I'm saying, which ain't, you know, Lady Gaga. And then you got...
right.
And then you go into the soul community. You got Raheem Devine. You got Eric Robinson, and you got the brother Fonte.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got.
Right.
That's all you got.
Very limited.
And
you're right.
And they not. Yeah. And they not the only ones that can sing. And
no,
to be honest, to be honest with you, I'm ready. Hey, put me on the show with you then. Allow me to
okay.
perform. That's all
right.
I ask. Allow me to perform, and then let the people decide who they want to. I mean, bro, there's enough room for everybody if you got good music.
There you go. There you go. No, you're
music,
right about that.
There's enough room for everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the powers that be, and it's powers that be in the soul community, won't
mm-hmm.
allow that to happen. They won't allow that to happen. So I chose to take a different route. I take a different route on everything I do now.
Okay.
You know, and it's not a crazy route. It's just a route that's going kind of, it's like me going through the back door. That's why the new album is called Unusual Takeover, because
okay.
it's me going through the back door and still getting in. I'm still going. You can't stop me. You can't stop good music. It's not going to happen.
There you go. So Nuambe, right. So what does the back door look like for you? What can you describe that?
Well, see, I'm not a stereotypical artist. I'm not looking for
mm-hmm.
my manager. I'm not looking for some of my mentors like Quadri El-Amin that managed Michael Jackson. He managed
mm-hmm.
Janet. He signed Deborah Cox. He signed Boyz II Men, who just got the star on the Walk of Fame, the star.
Mm-hmm.
Like he tell me all the time, he said, "Man, kid, continue to do what you're doing," and I look at everything from a corporate standpoint now.
Okay.
As I'm getting older. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking from a corporate standpoint. And
okay.
since there are subclasses of individuals, like, for instance, this past weekend they had the Diamond and Gala Caviar. They had a gala. It was Diamond Caviar Gala in Bermuda, which was
right.
Star Jones, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I put myself in the class with those individuals. Not to say I'm so I can be better than the people, but just to let those type of individuals know who I am. So when I do climb back out and go back to my community, you know what I'm saying? These people over here, they're going to know about me.
Okay.
If I don't do nothing else but leave them with a CD.
Right.
They're going to know about me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, for instance, one time I was in L.A., Mekhi Phifer told my cousin, he was like, man, tell Nwabe, that CD was jamming. See?
Yeah.
So if I ever get on television or anything of that sort, like a video or anything get rotated on Centric, VH1 Soul, and Mekhi Phifer happened to be sitting in his living room and watching, you know, that's that dude I talked to and he gave me a CD.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So then that's the movers and shakers are the people that really make it move and shake. It's not really the common man. It's not the really like the average person going to work every day.
Right.
I'm getting into the psychological aspect of this stuff. I mean, we really waiting on to see what they're gonna say. The average person is they're waiting to see what they're gonna say. That's what they doing.
Right.
If Kanye West or Jay-Z say, hey man, it's Gucci everything. That's where
everybody's
going
to go buy Gucci. Right.
Everybody's going to buy Gucci.
Right.
So why can't a soul artist do that? Hey, man, righteousness. Stop being two-faced.
I
got some new song. I got some new stuff that I'm talking about. You know, like I got a song called Same Old, Same Old that I've been trying to do with Bomb B. You know what I mean? It's a song that kind of tap into everything, even from people losing their homes and just a whole nine. You know what I mean? It's really about what's going on today. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even how people are acting, you know, and how people will stumble over the next person just to advance, which is crazy to me now.
Well,
I
think the interesting thing in listening to you talk, Nwabe, and I can definitely feel your frustration and your passion, which I honestly think is a beautiful thing, because obviously you don't hold your tongue, which I totally respect, and, you know, you are clearly, clearly sharing of yourself. But the thing is that I get out of, you know, your style of telling a story, whether it's even just listening to you on a feature or interview talk, to the experiencing your music, you allow people to feel, you know, and I think that's something that is needed, you know, out of music, out of art, because I think it's that powerful. Sometimes we need to hear something, whether it's just even listening to this conversation that you and I are having and say, you know what, that's just like real. Man, I've been feeling that way too, you know, and he's on the air right now talking about it, you know, so I think that you definitely have that personality that says, you know what, this is where I'm at, this is what I feel, and, you know, come join me in this. You know, even if it's just this moment in listening to this one track, you know, I'm here with you, you know.
Right.
And that's how I feel and see, you know, in just experiencing you right now tonight.
You know, like one of my major, let me tell you what, it's one of my major struggles that, you know, because, you know, a lot of my friends always say, hey, man, you know, hey, you rich. You got money. Oh, man, you balling. You know, I mean, they say it all, right?
Okay.
And I say, and one of my struggles that they don't even understand is it's like, after you stop struggling, after you really stop struggling, you know, and I'm talking about financially.
Right.
How do you really talk about struggling? How do you get the people to feel your struggle when you're sitting here with maybe a bracelet on and it costs $12,000, $13,000? How do you invoke the emotion? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you're not struggling anymore. So what do you talk about? What do you start talking about then?
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You get people
I mean,
feel you when you're not in that anymore. You're not really feeling that anymore. I mean, I'm not walking around with diamonds on my hands like that, but, you know, the type of things that I do other than music has fortitude me to do, you know, be in some places and do some things that is not, you know, the norm.
Right. But I think
so
that,
like,
you know, I mean, you know, it to me it's like no matter where you are in life, no matter what your economic level, no matter where it is that you live, there's always some form of struggle, you know, whether it's just, you know, like you're talking about, dealing with the industry and being able to be recognized for a great talent that deserves to be heard, to just life in general, life getting in the way, relationships, love, losses, you know, those things still go on no matter where you are in life. You know,
right,
and
right.
It's something that you can always express.
Yeah, I mean, I can tap into the love thing, like I say, and a love lost and things of that sort. Then you got your team of individuals around you, your people around you, say, yeah, hey, you know what? You got too many love songs. You got too many songs that tap into X, Y, Z. Then you got to get into this debate and argument with them about why you
Everybody's
wrote that.
Everybody's going to have an opinion, huh?
Everybody's going. That's the point I was trying to make. Plus,
right.
Have an opinion.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So
I totally,
I'm the point now is just, hey, be yourself, create the music. Don't let the music be your means of financing because of the way the industry is now. And it's almost impossible to sell a lot of units now.
Mm-hmm.
But let it be almost a part of your branding aspect. You know
what
I'm saying? Because I'm not just a musician or singer. I'm an artist. I'm a visual artist. I grew up drawing and painting and doing these different things. And I grew up being a very creative individual, doing all different types of things you can imagine. You know what I'm saying? I'm a rough dude. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, I ride horses. I ride four wheelers and motorcycles and.
Okay.
And all kind of stuff. So I'm a rough guy too. I'm not just that's just one aspect of me. You know what I mean? And I want if people are going to really know who I am as a whole, they need to really dig. I would want them to see me as a whole and not as just one fashion. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you know, he's a singer. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm a brother too that likes to donate my time. I like to volunteer. I like to come up with creative ways to enhance or help my community.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm consistently asking people, hey, what do you got going on? I'm the guy that'll pick up the hammer and the nail and go build a house for some poor family.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I said this in another interview that, you know, for us to be a soul community, you know, I don't see a lot of us as soul artists that's very involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're not. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been all around the country. I lived in New York City. I've been around everybody that's so involved in the art and not involved into the community. You know what I'm saying? But yet we want to write about it and say what's wrong with it instead of us finding ways to create programs that can better the community.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So we have
I totally get you, right.
Yeah, we got a civic duty as well. You know what I'm saying? It's not just, you know, hey, you know, I got this nice song, listen to my song. You know, as I'm getting older, it's bigger than that. Bigger than the song. You know what I mean? And not necessarily say want to be seen, but actually leaving a legacy. You know what I mean? Leaving a legacy that somebody can respect.
Sure. So then when you say that, Nwabe, what is it that you want people to remember about you then?
I just want people to remember me as an individual who was real. You know what I mean? That's it. You know what I mean? I was a real, and I am human.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because it's like, yeah, true indeed, I am a very private person, and it may not seem that way. You know what I'm saying? But I am. I'm a very individual who kind of recluse type of individual. But, you know, I struggle with myself to even get out and mingle and deal with people. And they may take that as, okay, he's trying to be funny or whatever. But, no, it's not. It's just something that it's just the way I am because that's the way I grew up. Even when I was a young child and my mother was telling some people this, she was saying that, you know, he would just stay in his room and he would just read books.
Mm.
Listen to music, and that's what I would do. So I'm still that individual. I'm just an older person. I still do the same thing. I read books. You know what I'm saying? I'm reading a book right now about Ron Phillips about spiritual welfare. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm consistently reading things in order for me to, you know, to understand what's going on and how I can combat it or how I can maneuver through it in this life. I mean,
sure.
So it's not just about. Like I say, it's deeper than the music. I got so much music in my mind and so much music on my Mac that if I was to die tomorrow, they'll find all that stuff and be like, wow, he got all kind of songs.
Right.
And a lot of my stuff now is going towards the spiritual side. And I don't really call it, I'm starting to call it gospel soul.
Because
it's about teaching the people, too. You know what I mean? People keep saying Curtis Mayfield. I'm like, no, it's not Curtis Mayfield. It's me. That's where I feel. I just feel like where the music is going. I just feel like we need to get there. That's what we need.
Well,
I
agree with you. And this is one of the things that I was talking to, you know, King Blue about before you came on is the fact that, you know, art is so extremely powerful. You know, it can change how we think and feel. You know, it can allow us to own an emotion at the moment, you know, but it's like, for instance, if you were writing a music about uplifting women, right?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you that if more and more artists did that, you know, you would find people in general, not only just like men, but even women themselves, you know, in uplifting, you know, feeling uplifted and feeling valued and seeing some things in relationships change. You know, and when you take things in a positive direction, I think, you know, all you can get is positive. You know, but if your creation is something that is putting out something that we consider negative, you know, I do think that we live in a community, a society where so much is accepted that back in the day was not accepted. It was very clear when I was coming up what was right and wrong. And now it's like, ooh, right and wrong is so very different from different people when you talk to them, you know. But I think that with art, man, you can, you know, you can change the world, you know. And I think that, you know, when I was coming up, because I'm a Baptist minister's daughter, you know, but, you know, when I was coming up in my community, you know, and I was raised in the hood and here in Seattle, we all went to church. Everybody went to church, you know. And, you know, Sunday school and summer, you know, summer Bible study and, you know, and all of that, you know. So, you know, we came up on some very, very different values back in the day. But I really believe we can take it back there, you know. And
right.
I think that if you're creating something that can hit people on a spiritual level, shoot, you know, I mean, what a beautiful thing, you know, to be able to experience an artist that just
on the secular side, let's keep it that way too, because you know, I sing in church a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like on Sundays, I sing in church, and at the church, the particular church that I go to now, and you know, and but I grew up. My parents are Muslim. So that's kind of weird though. But I'm a Christian.
Okay.
And, but my mother, like I talked to my mother the other day, she said, "Well, I always allow you guys to choose which way you wanted to go," which is a beautiful thing, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yes, it is.
It's a beautiful thing, but at the same time, you know, it's a thing that, you know, as I'm getting older, I was like, you know what? When I hear an Earth, Wind, and Fire song, those songs are spiritual songs, period. If you really listen to some of the words that they're saying, you know what I'm saying? Even some of the symbolic symbols that they had on the album covers and et cetera, et cetera. These guys are really deep individuals, even Maze, even Frankie Beverly. I mean, these guys are really, really talking about, hey, this is what I'm going through. I need you to listen to this. You know what I'm saying? And then they went on to the next song.
They went on to the next song,
you know what I mean? Let me tell you what happened tonight. I was loading iTunes. You know what I'm saying? I was loading iTunes into my PC, right?
Okay.
And I had bought a brand new PC, and I have a 2-year-old. And my daughter saw Lady Gaga on the iTunes.
Oh.
She saw Lady Gaga with the horns, and everything, and she started screaming.
Oh.
And she ran. She ran. She literally ran.
Yeah.
And I said to her mother, I said, see, even the children, 2 years old, know when something is not right.
Sure.
In the she hadn't even heard the music.
Right, right. But just that visual. Yeah.
She just saw the visual.
Right.
And for us in America to allow our kids to buy this type of music and then just now any music that is positive, something wrong.
Right. Right.
Something wrong. It's something wrong. It's supposed to be more frustrated artists of my magnitude. It's supposed to be more of us, but no one's saying nothing. Ain't nobody got nothing to say.
Right.
Nobody.
Interesting.
And it's real talk. No one has nothing to say. My cousin called me. He live in L.A. He said, man, have you heard this song called I'm Gonna Beat Your Stuff Up? I heard that song on XM Radio. I said, ain't it funny they can play this song a million times a day, but they can't play my song one time? He said, yeah, man, it's beat up. I said, because it's set up in his design. I'm trying to make this a black and white thing, but it's cultural. You know what I'm saying? It is designed to destroy us. Destroy the way people think. Deprogram us. You know, Obama brought XYZ, and then it uplifted us to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
Black men start feeling proud. Start feeling like, hey, man, you know, I don't have to be in a dysfunctional. I have a dysfunctional home or a dysfunctional woman, dysfunctional wife. I can have a core family. You know what I mean? Obama brought that back to us. But the music, it didn't got worse.
No, I agree with you. It has gotten worse. You know, and the messages
like,
that
no one's saying nothing. Where's everybody at? Where's my soul people at? Are we going to just have our own little miniature culture? Little village, and we're going to create our own music, and we're only going to share our music among ourselves. When are we going to take the time to create music that expand past our own community?
Sure.
Yeah. That everybody can grab a hold to. You know what I'm saying? From that guy that's working out the, you know, on the bus to that don't even go to a soul scene or know of a soul DJ or, you know, neo soul this, neo soul that. We got to take it out of the neo soul realm and bring it into a more global situation so everybody can understand that we are the poor righteous teachers on earth that's basically trying to teach through our music.
Sure.
They're not doing that. There's no one doing that. Nobody doing that. I'm trying to do it.
Well, and I think that through you, Nwabe, you can start that movement, you know, and people. And I believe that even if it doesn't feel like there's a lot, I think that there is such a relevance to who you are and what you're creating that you are definitely going to get out there. And I think that, you know, you've had the opportunity. You do know some people, you know, that can help position you. And I understand, you know, just doing it the grassroots way positioning yourself to have somebody pay attention, you know, of relevance that, you know, can push you out there. And so, you know, I feel your passion. I feel your frustration in it. But, my brother, I think that you can just, you know, keep doing you, and I think that it will be recognized. I, you know, I I up here in the Pacific Northwest, you know, I started my radio show 2 years ago, and in that it's all about underground independent artists, you know, the artists that are not being heard and recognized. That's all I do. And, you know, in that short amount of time, you know, I've been reached out to join other radio stations to bring the music that I play on Flava News Radio to their station too, you know, and so it just opens the door more and more and more to more listenerships, you know, and, you know, for what it's worth, you know, you've definitely gained a fan in me. I know that, you know, I was a fan when I first heard the music and Hassan connected me with you to then, you know, just even tonight, you know, just the experiences from King Blue, who you definitely have had an influence on, to, you know, in this conversation that you shared very, very honestly and opened with, you know, me tonight. It, you know, for my reach, you know, and where I can go, definitely, you know, Nwambe will go too.
I sure appreciate you too.
Another thing is I'll just put it out there because, you know, I'm working towards doing, you know, shows up here. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm bringing Monica Monet up here from Jacksonville, Florida in March to do a tour. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Hassan and I are in some talks with some other things. And I would love to somehow, you know, work it out that as I grow what it is that I'm doing, you know, past just the radio and doing the shows and the tours, you know, we'll definitely work on getting Nwambe up here to the Pacific Northwest in Canada.
Right. And, you know, I can say this openly over the radio. You know, I do have opportunities to bring sponsors in on my own. You know, like I said, you know, I got Skull Candy. I mean, all these different, like, headphone companies and all these different folks that always ask me to do things. And Hassan knows this, you know what I mean? And we just got to pull the synergies together and make something happen. And, and like I told Hassan, I talked to Hassan today as well. And I told him, I say, hey, it's 2012. And, you know, it's time to stop. And I'm talking about myself. You know, it's really time. And I'm not making any excuses anymore. It's like, hey, you if you want to see a Nwambe show, bring me to your city. You don't want to pay for Nwambe to come to your city, I'll come to your city. Just give me a date.
Right.
You just give me a date in the venue, and we'll come to your city, and you can see me perform. And that way we can shut down any doubt that I can or cannot perform.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big stigma that's going around, too, because it's like, okay, this music is so phenomenal. Can he really perform? Yes.
Sure.
That's
no, and I feel you on that because, right, and there are people out there. I mean, the big artists, you know, I've gone to some concerts and paid some money and been so very disappointed in the lack of showmanship, in a sense, of what I experienced. So I totally get you. There are people who do not have a stage presence and do not know how to draw you in, you know. So I totally believe that you definitely are one that has that. You know, and I believe that King Blue wants to come back in, so let me bring him back in.
Okay.
Right, quick,
okay.
Nwambe. All right, King Blue, I opened up your phone line again.
Well, I appreciate that. I just wanted to interject that there are those of us that are standing up against these negative images, these demonic lyrics. I taught my kids about this since they were little, and they looked at me like I was crazy as kids, but now that they're older, they see that these things really do happen, that they really are portraying demonic images and leading our children in the wrong way. In my group, Southern Kingdom, the first family of righteous hip-hop, that's one of the things we addressed. Me and you talked earlier, Lady Flavor, about the demonic images that were in the Jay-Z and Kanye videos, in the Monster video, and in the Power video. And those things we specifically address. We have videos on YouTube, and we also have a Facebook page, Southern Kingdom, the first family of righteous hip-hop.
Well, and I think that, you know, I appreciate, again, King Blue, you know, that you do address that, because I think it's going to take artists such as yourself and Nwambe that's going to bring us back to where we need to be. I know it's not an easy task to take on, you know, but clearly the two of you have chosen, you know, in a sense, it's part of your ministry as an artist, you know, to do this. And I think it's something that's needed, you know, and so just for myself, you know, I appreciate the two of you for doing that because we can bring it back. If we all come together, you know, no matter what the community looks like, whether it's just, you know, the people within your own home-based community, whether it be, you know, the hip-hop or the soul community or the internet radio community or whatever that community looks like, if we all come together and join hands, we can change the world. I'm sorry. I just really, really believe that.
Right. I believe that as well. You know what I mean? So, I mean, Blue can even tell you on this aspect of it all about Dallas. And, you know, I mean, we don't, to me, you know, Blue can you can kind of interject. But I really don't feel that we have a strong outlet for individual artists like myself and maybe you to really gain the exposure that we need here as well, you know what I'm saying? Because we have, what, almost 6-7 million people here now, you know what I'm saying? And we don't have enough venues for African-American males, African-American groups, period, to even perform mm-hmm. here. You know what I'm saying? We don't even have that. Now, you go and check, like, you know, every major city has a, you know, they got the L.A. Weekly, you got your Dallas Observer, you have, you know, different, you know, magazines that kind of show, you know, what shows are happening. We have everybody else coming through our city, but yet our city is not recognizing any of our artists unless it's Erykah Badu or it's, or S1. And I know S1 and I know Erykah Badu, but these are not the only individuals here in Dallas that have talent and that have enough talent that can go globally. It's not true. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yet
right.
that stigma is here. So even when you have a concert, you will have major artists that will come through here and pass Dallas to go to Houston.
Oh.
It's Dallas right here. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We miss a lot of major concerts because of the fact that it's such a fickle market here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And,
well,
you know, I mean, I didn't, you know, I didn't done it all. I didn't move to New York to see if it would work in New York. I didn't move to L.A. to see if it would work in L.A. I moved to New York to see if it would work in New York. But you have to, a lot of those people in New York basically have grown up together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what it is. So you see a lot of people coming up. Oh, I remember him back in Brooklyn, back in, you know, 82. You know what I'm saying? He was trying to do his thing and I mean, I've been there, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got on SOB.
Okay.
And I did some things, but that was because of this guy named Daniel who played for Janet Jackson. He allowed me to come to SOB. It was not Eric Robinson. It was not any of those individuals who allowed me to do that particular show. It was a guy named Daniel who's from Dallas.
Okay.
Who happened to be playing for him. That's it. That's the only reason why I got allowed to do a show there. These people, when they have their particular city, you know what I'm saying, they only going to deal with their core people. But when we come through, when Dallas, it's supposed to be that same way, but it's not that way because if we allow everybody and anybody to come in and interject whatever their thought process is or whatever they feel or however they feel into our city, and then they leave our city, and then we sitting up there looking like dodo birds and can't nobody come together to do a show. I'm just keeping it 8-1.
Right.
Unfortunately, the music community in Dallas, we lack the solidarity that other cities have, like Houston and those others. It's really kind of a microcosm of Black America. We're more cliquish as opposed to being open to other people. And he's right; the amount of venues are so small that it's really hard to establish any type of following. But where there's a will, there's a way, and we just have to create more venues for us to perform it. I'm really surprised that major artists hadn't gotten together and started some type of grassroots movement, almost like the Magic Johnson movie theaters, where we have our own privately funded places to perform. You know, I mean, we run into issues with insurance or whatever kind of way they stigmatize Black audiences and Black performers, but we really ought to try to have our own small arenas and our own way of doing this thing, you know, as opposed to depending on people that really don't like us to provide something for us.
You know, and just come with, it really basically come with some type of outlet for the younger generation to come up and be able to display their art. because a lot of times, I, even on Reverb Nation, I come across a lot of young artists from our particular city alone, very, very talented, but they have nowhere to perform, nowhere to cultivate the talent, like other major cities.
Right.
So then when you look at a Vibe magazine, you know what I mean? You look at a Complex or a Filter, so some of these various magazines, and you know, you see people and you say, hey, this particular artist is from Philly, this particular artist is from New York, this particular artist is from Virginia, this particular artist is from Miami, Atlanta, L.A., and you see that, you see that, you consistently see artists coming from these particular areas. Is because they have an outlet and for that art, their artists to basically be seen and to be able to, what's the word, King, create an appeal for themselves, or a mass appeal for themselves, so it'll be more individuals. Basically a fan. They got an avenue to make fans, and then they take their fans and their fans talk about, hey, this artist is nice. And then their fans reach, you know, somebody may demographically move to Dallas, per se. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of people that's brand new here in Dallas right now. Hey, where are you from? I'm from California. Oh, I'm from New York. Okay. And then next thing you know, you see Eric Robinson, you see all these different individuals consistently coming through our city. But then nobody from the city that's talented or has put any work in is allowed to open, or is, matter of fact, you ain't supposed to come through my city and open for my city. You're supposed to be the act that's performing, and I'm supposed to be the opener because this is my city. They do it in their city, and I'm not trying to be cliquish or anything. I'm just telling you, going around
the
country, and I'm just telling you how it is. And then these people, when you come through their city and you ask them, hey man, can I get a show? You can't get no show. Guess what? I'm keeping H100. I hit Chocolate up from Seattle.
Right.
Hey Chocolate, can you bring me through your city?
Right.
No response on Facebook. But yet you're my fan on Facebook. You're my fan on Facebook though.
Well, see, Nuwambe. See, Nuwambe. That's why you're supposed to connect with me.
That's true. You're
that's
right.
That's why you were. That's why you were supposed to step on the leopard carpet tonight and connect
with
me.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So that's why.
You know what I mean?
That's our new motto anyway. Is either connect with the promoter or connect with the regular people, because we have gotten out of our we are out of our minds right now to the point. I mean, we're not. Half of us don't even have a Grammy. Half of us haven't even sold 10,000 units. But yet, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yet we acting like we superstars already. No one's humble. No one's humble about it. No more. It's like, hey,
well,
I'm just me.
Right.
And let me tell you, I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna shut up. I really love doing these shows now. I really do. If you look on the internet, and I'm glad they just passed this new law where they're basically shutting down certain websites because it was killing me. I seen your link one day. This FileShare.com or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I had over 300 King, this is a true statement. 300,000 units of my first album downloaded. I saw none of that money. It's on the internet. I don't have to lie about it. It's on the internet. It's on Google.
Right.
300,000 units. I saw not one dime. Now, in the music industry, by RIAA standards, man, that's close to almost being gold.
Sure.
I ain't get none of that.
Sure.
I ain't get no money from that.
Right.
Nothing.
And that's wrong. Right. That, you know, and obviously, we know that you're registered out there and everything, and that you should be, you know, getting paid the royalties from having your music downloaded and listened to. I mean, that's just real talk, and I can definitely appreciate that. But you know, it's just you know, I'm just little Lady Flava up in, here in Seattle, Washington, you know, got you on the leopard carpet, waving my leopard pom-poms and everything, but I have such a passion for what it is that I do, you know, and even just engaging you tonight, Nuwambe, it makes me even much more passionate. But let me just kind of give you a walkthrough of my thought process, you know, in bringing Monica Monet up here to Seattle from Jacksonville. You know, the whole thought is that, and I'm doing this with a business partner, Jace, but the whole thought process is she really loves some of the artists that she's heard from the Pacific Northwest on Flava News Radio. That's how she reached out to me saying she wanted to come. Mm-hmm. So I've got five different shows that are set up for her to perform throughout, you know, the state of Washington going into Vancouver, Canada. And the whole idea is that she is going to be performing with different artists, you know, from here, from, you know, she really, really loves Black Stacks, a hip-hop soul group. So she's, you know, going to be performing with them. She's going to be doing an acoustic set at a kind of a like a wine, you know, kind of like a wine lounge or whatever, you know, a soul jazz bar. To mm-hmm. then, you know, then she's going to be doing one in a different location where she'll be performing with a cover band that's, you know, going to also back her up, you know, as far as backup singers, to then, you know, performing with a jazz vocalist up in Canada. And, you know, so the whole idea, the whole concept is taking this one artist and putting her in front of many audiences, you know, because each individual group has their own pull, you know, within the city. And so it's introducing Monica to different audiences. So this is my mindset, you know, and the importance, because you talk about demographics, you talk about being able to cross over. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you're aware, I'm Japanese and German, you know.
Okay.
And so, you know, and I was raised in, you know, I was raised in a Black community from birth, you know. So, you know, you know, the reality is when you see the majority of the artists that I work with, they're African-American. But even in just that, you know, we're able to bring you up to the Pacific Northwest and put you in front of different audiences from those, because, you know, because we've got Microsoft
yeah.
here. So, you know, the whole idea is like taking the artists and putting them over in this one location over in Bellevue, Washington, which is close to Microsoft, where there's a different mm-hmm. economic group. And this and that. So there's a whole thought process,
right.
and I believe it makes sense, you know. I believe it really makes sense, and so this is the whole goal of what I'm trying to establish, because I realize that what you guys need is to be put in front of different audiences, not just one
That's
type
correct.
Of audience. You need to be put in front of many audiences to broaden your capability of creating a different fan base, a larger fan base and reach, to creating those consumers.
That, you are totally correct. And I've been screaming
that
for years. And I've been screaming that for years. Like, why can't open up for a rock group?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? A blues artist. Or, I mean, this is some of the frustrations and some of the things I went through within my own city. You know what I mean? Why can't open up for a jazz artist?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the music is very jazzy. You know what I'm saying? Very smooth.
Sure.
I mean, it is really hard being in the demographics that we are in down in the South. It is really hard, even though a lot of the great music, a lot of artists moved up to the East Coast or the, maybe the West Coast to pursue their careers and kind of get them a jump start or whatnot. But, I mean, it's even hard when you go and move to those demographics now, because everything is so cliquish. Everything.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Well, where you know
right.
him from? You know what I'm saying? I don't know him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even
right.
even now, me and you are talking. You say, hey, well, I can help you get in, but what if I didn't know you? How? You know,
right.
The question is, how was I going to get into Seattle? You know what I mean?
Well, exactly.
In what way?
So, see, the whole thing was that, you know, in the divine purpose of all of this, you were meant to come on the leopard carpet with me tonight.
Yes,
that's right.
That's what
he was. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, if you know, when you have a spiritual base or whatever, the foundation, it's like, okay, you know that there is a divine purpose to everything, you know, and that you are put in a position to experience different people along your journey. Well, you know what? Okay, you reached out to Chocolate. Okay, I've reached out to Chocolate too. I grew up with her brother since we were 12 years old. Okay, you know, so I totally get that, you know. Chocolate doesn't respond to me. You know, she's called into one of my shows, you know, and, you know, I love her music or whatever. So I totally get that, you know. But the thing is that one thing that I'm learning in this industry is, you know, okay, it's so easy to sit here and say, okay, you know, she didn't respond and so-and-so didn't respond. And I'm like, you know what, Flava, you just create your own lane. I'm kind of the stubborn Japanese-German girl, okay? I'm 51 years old, you know. I'm like, I ain't new. You know,
and I've been creating my own lane to the point where, like I said, you can create your own lane to the point where people feel like you're acting like you're better than the next person.
Right,
and I've done that before. I have done that before, too. Where when I first started, doing this stuff, D'Angelo came out. My first opportunity was a record deal through Relativity Records. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Relativity Records put out Common's first album.
Okay.
They had, and they also had, what's his name, Bone Thugs.
Okay.
An A&R guy came down. He was a Puerto Rican guy. He came down, and he was like, I was like 17 at the time, and he was like, hey, man, sing. I started singing. He said, man, what do you call this? What is this? You know, his young dude sound like, he said a classic. That's what he was saying to me. He didn't know what to call it. They would call it an adult contemporary at the time.
Okay.
No soul music. No neo soul
music. Right.
And right after that, about a year later, 17, graduated in 93. That was 1 year later. 3 years later, D'Angelo come out. Well, 2 years later, because 95 is when D came out. D'Angelo came out, and they was calling it soul, a neo soul, a classic soul. They was, you know, and then the guy still, Relativity Records folded or whatever, they folded. And then I was back at square one again trying to find a deal. And at the time, Six Deuce, me and him had the same manager. So they gave Six Deuce, the guy who was on the Chronic album when Eminem first came out. He's from my city.
Okay.
He's from Eastwood.
Okay.
He's from my neighborhood. They signed him to Dr. Dre's label, and then I was just out in lingo. My manager didn't know what to do with me. So, you know, just imagine being a young man in a city where your city don't know what to do with you because you just got all this talent, and they don't know what to do to you, do for you. You know what I'm saying? They're like, hey, I don't know what to do with this guy. You know what I'm saying? So then I went on from there, and then I just started creating a sound. Like I said, I started creating my sound. And then I started moving the way I wanted to move. Next thing you know, I'm doing shows with Frank McComb. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing shows with everybody. We in Atlanta, Georgia at the Apache. And I'm just doing everything in Atlanta.
I perform at the Apache as well. It's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, beautiful spot. You know what I'm saying? Yin Yang, formerly the Yin Yang. So I was doing the Apache when I was doing my thing. And I had CeeLo and I had everybody jumping up for joy. I mean, it was a wonderful thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came back home, I was not accepted in my home, in my whole city no more. I wasn't accepted in my city. And I, you know, and I'm not bragging. I was in the Vibe magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been three or four people from my city. Doro, their rapper, they had the candy paint song with Snoop Dogg.
Right.
And you got N. Dumby. Then you got Erykah Badu. Then you got me. That's
right.
It. That's all who's been in the Vibe.
Right.
Yeah,
I
but it's
you know
it's going to happen for you, though. It's going to happen for
but
you.
I'm just saying, but
just
I can't get
as big
up,
as
man. I need some shows around here, man. I'm tired of, you know, I'm not whining. I'm just telling you, man, I am tired of the tide of the tide, man. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm going to tell you how, you know how the Bible tells you to go to the people who, you think you offended, or even go to the people. I done that last year. I took my time to go to the people. I ain't saying their names. I just went to them and said, hey, do you have a problem with me? Did I offend you in any way? Let me know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What's going on? No, it's nothing. I never had a problem from you. And then 2 weeks later, you tell somebody else something about me, and they come back and tell me.
Right.
And I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm just like, wow.
Well, see, you just continue in your own way, creating your own lane, Nuwambe, and staying true to you, and I think it's going to be recognized. You know, it's almost like that due diligence. You know, you put in that work, you stay true to yourself, you don't sell out, you know, and people will recognize and just, you know, and I will definitely say to you, you know, to stay in contact with me after the show, you know, and I have frequent contact with Hassan. You know, and let's see, you know, what we can make happen, you know, here in the near future. But we are about to run out of time, and I have so enjoyed this. I'm so glad that you were able to finally call in. But there's somebody else who's had their hand raised for a minute, so let me just bring them in and see what they have to say to you.
Okay.
All right, caller from the 510 area code, you are on the leopard carpet with Nuwambe.
Hi, Lady Flavor.
How are you, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good.
Hello to everyone on the phone. I really just wanted to call in because I was just on Facebook with my boss, and I was telling him, my boss, about Nuwambe, and he YouTubed you, and he is interested in wanting to put a show on with you in the Bay Area, and we are actually in the process of putting together a breast cancer benefit in May on Mother's Day with Eric Roberson. So we're actually in the process of doing that, and he's interested in possibly putting you on for that if you're open to it. He's going to talk to Eric.
Good.
He just, yeah. I'm sorry?
Yeah, we most definitely, we down.
Okay, because he's my boss just said that he's going to go ahead and contact Eric's people tomorrow and just, you know, to see if everything will work out okay, because there's another artist that we're looking to bring on by the name of Avery Sunshine as well. So he figures if we can get all three of you guys on the bill for the concert, it will definitely be dynamic. The concert is supposed to be at Maxwell's in Oakland, California, located in the downtown area, and we will have a live band for you. So that's what I wanted to call in to say, because he was like, he wanted to make sure that I could at least contact you, because he asked me if I had a way to contact you. And I said, they're still online right now. Well, on the phone right now. So I just wanted to call in and say that. And thank you, Lady Flavor, for letting me say this. Because
oh, no problem. No, I appreciate it. And
I'll give you my telephone number. I'm not shy. You know what I'm saying? So the whole radio world can have my phone number. It's 469-554-2332. You can call me and give you information, and then we can. Your manager, your boss, can talk to my manager, and we can pull it together. We can make it happen.
Okay. Our company is called EWB Entertainment, and he's actually already liked you on Facebook and has already started kind of pushing your music on Twitter just within the past 30 minutes that you guys have been talking on this phone.
I sure appreciate it. I most definitely appreciate it.
So, that's all this is Erica Reed
that you are actually talking to, Nuwambe. So,
okay.
Just so that you have the names and definitely, you know, you guys.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. That was so rude of me.
So,
I'm sorry, I just got on here just started talking. I'm
that's
sorry.
That's all right, darling. We were running out of time, so it's good that you were talking fast. And you know what? See, Nuwambe, you just never know who's paying attention, right?
You never know. You're right. You know what I mean? And, you know, I really do believe that God is with me now, because I can honestly say this, and I say this with everything. At first I was running around all over the country, you know what I mean? And I remember one time I went to this church in D.C., right? And this lady told me, she said, baby, you just running from the Lord. And I said, so I looked at her, and I immediately knew that she was not lying to me. And then she said, hug me, right? And it was like the best hug ever in my whole entire life. I never forget this lady. And she said, she told some things. She told everybody in this church. I had just visited this church. I was new to the city. And she was like, if I'm lying, she was telling all this stuff. I got shot before. I've been shot before.
Right.
And she told them that I had been shot. So, King, imagine you telling somebody, somebody telling you your life story, and you don't know nothing about these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow, this lady told me everything about me. It just blew my mind, right? So then she was like, you need to start running from the Lord. And, man, to be honest with you, I ain't start running until last year.
Right.
I've been running for years.
Right.
And I know now that you have to put God first in everything that you do.
Praise God. You sure right about
there
that.
There you go. I agree.
That's it.
See, darling, it was meant for you to come on the leopard carpet. I'm just going to keep saying that, Nuwambe, because you know what? Every time you see a leopard carpet, you see leopard something down there in Dallas, you're going to think about Lady Flavor because, you know, we're going
right
to stay connected.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see some stilettos.
There you go.
With the leather carpet on it, on the real.
There you go. Just wait, Nuwambe, because I'm going to do a Flavor Fest. This is my goal. So if I get the funding and the sponsorship for my Flavor Fest, you and King will be getting on the plane to come up here for that.
Right.
And then,
you
just never know. I may have my own leopard carpet. You know, the red carpet event? No, we're going to do the leopard carpet event. So you just never know, my friend. So, you know, it was a blessing, you know.
Okay.
And so, you know what, we are about to run out of time, and I just don't want this to cut off. So I do definitely want to, you know, thank you, Nuwambe, for, you know, calling in and spending time with us. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. I learned a lot. I feel you. I feel your passion. I loved your music already, but you know what? I love your music even more now. I totally get you, King, because I love the music even more now that I've had the opportunity to get to know the artist. So you definitely have a fan, you know, in me up here in the Pacific Northwest. I will continue pushing your music. I will push it on the different radio stations that I'm going to be heard on in 2012. And, you know, we'll just see what we can do in bringing you up here to the Pacific Northwest. Now, King, my friend, I do want you to send me some of your music, so send it to radio@flavornews.com. And, you know, let's see what we can do, because I really enjoyed having you at the beginning of the show. You kind of saved my day, you know, waiting for Nuwambe. So, you know, and Erica, darling, thank you so much for calling in and reaching out to Nuwambe. That's, you know, that's a blessing. I'm very, very grateful, even from my end. So,
hey, King, do I have King's information?
Yeah, we need to hook up, brother, because all of our music is about the creator, and we just want to make it funky and something that the people can get to, because we can't change this thing around, and we can't take radio away from those people that really don't have our best interests in mind.
Right. I got you, bro. You got my phone number, right, King?
Yeah, I'm going to hit you up.
Yeah, okay, 469-554-2332. I have a website. It's artistecard.com/Nuwambe. I have a Facebook. It's facebook.com/Nuwambe. I have a Twitter. It's twitter.com/Nuwambe. And my name is spelled Nuwamba, and it's pronounced Nuwambay. Nuwambe.
All right.
Nice.
I got King Blue, BLU, with no B.
All right.
Thank you
so much, Nuwambe. This was a special night for me, and I appreciate you coming on. And again, let's stay connected. King, stay connected. Baby girl, we're already connected. We're family. So,
yeah.
You know, let's just keep this moving in 2012 and see what we can make happen. You know, I'm definitely up to joining hands with all of you, you know, and taking this further, you know. So, you know, God is good. What can I say?
Thank you.